Banks and myself. Now, all names of men and women of all names of all the babes that broke the mother's womb and came into this world alive, all of them have their names written in the book of life. Now, some may abort them and do this and do that, and God decides on that. But I'm going to tell you that all names are written in the book of life. Everybody that's born from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Now, we have always taught here. Well, we've taught, and you've listened to it, and I think it's been pretty thorough, that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know about people that were born in the time of Adam. We've preached on that. And we're told that by the time Genesis 4 and the last two verses, you know that then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Okay, what happened? Well, some of them did and some of them didn't. But what are we talking about here? Many believed that the seed was going to come and redeem them. They believed that. Okay, well, what about some of these people that got so far away from it and came over here on this continent where Indians and Lord knows what else, God winked at it. And I went through and I covered winked. So you've looked at that. So remember, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And apply what I'm going to show you. Okay, here I am, and I have called upon the name of the Lord to save me. I'm talking about right now, so we can bring it down to this day and this time. I've called upon the name of the Lord to save me. Okay, He saves me. I live for 5 years after He saves me. Here I am. I die. I have a name that cannot be wiped out of the book of life if I ask Him to save me during that 5-year period. Okay, here comes Ken. No, come on, even with me. Now he lives. He goes on. And Ken comes over here. And he has lived 5 years. And he has not called upon the name of the Lord. Well, his name is blotted out of the book of life. Now, the book of life, remember, wasn't given to you by an angel, as is commonly taught in missionary Baptist churches, when you called upon his name and he saved you. Not the angel, but God. That's not in the Bible. Listen, God gave life. God gave eternal life. And you can take away your physical life, but only God can take away your eternal life. And God gave it to you. So you've had an opportunity of 5 years. Okay, conviction do I think he put on Ken? 5 years worth of heavy conviction. Now suppose Ken, God knowing, foreknowledge, not predestinated, foreknowledge, knowing that Ken would live to be 90, and how would he work that conviction? Now, this part is opinion, but I believe it. God said that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, he said that, and he meant it. Now, God is a just God. He is just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. So how much conviction? Go and walk over that wall, and he lives to be, don't just come right up against it. Go over there about 99 years, and he dies. How much conviction did he put on Ken between here and there? Exactly appropriate amount, but he leveled it all out. In other words, he put 5 years of heavy stuff on him. Because he knew that Ken was going to do that. But God operates and gives every man a fair choice. And he does it just the way it's supposed to be done because he's God. Okay, come on back, Ken. Now, here we are again. And I've called on the name of the Lord, and I'm saved. And so here I go, and my name can never be taken out of the book of life once I receive it. So I'm going to walk over here, and I'm going to go about, well, I'm 82 now. And I go all the way over here. And God saves me. I'm 82 years old. Well, I got saved when I was 12 years old. From that point forward, there's no way that my name would ever be blotted out of the book of life. Because my name was written there from the foundation of the world. And so was this man who's about to follow me. Now, Ken, you come on over here. And you get where you were. And you're 99 and I'm 82. Okay. Well, I was 82. And God convicted me. Now, you ain't at the wall yet. Get out a little bit. And so here I am. All that time, he convicted me. Finally, I'm 99. I'm 82. And I accept him as the Lord. How much reward do you think I'm going to get when he convicted me all that time? I'm trying to explain this where the whole system works out and there's no flaw in it whatsoever that I have ever found. And I've taught it at the seminary in Little Rock. Nobody ever fought me on it. We sold, I don't know how many sets of tapes about this. Nobody's ever refuted it. Nobody's ever written me a nasty letter. Nobody's ever challenged it because it's true. God has a system to where he works this out. So let's go on back over here again. Okay. Ken, I'm just going to keep leaving you in a bad spot. Because Leonard and I have already decided you're just lucky. You're just lucky. You get in by the skin of your teeth.
Yeah.
Leonard and I are.
Yeah, so as by fire.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be sitting in a high seat. Let's see. Now.
Fire goes before a fall.
Okay. Now, let's say that I'm gonna start off. I'm born physically, and here I go, and then I call upon the name of the Lord. When I'm, 50. So here I go over here, and I'm walking along, and my name was written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, so I'm still in it. I'm still in it. And right here at age 50, and let's just assume I'm going to live to be 80. I don't know for sure. But here at age 50, I call on the name of the Lord. And I get saved. Nothing. God put my name in the book of life. And here I am. And the only one can take it out is God. And I've called on his name and he saved me. And he will not send me to hell. How much reward will he give me? Well, I still got some time left, but I don't know that. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to follow him. Follow what? His walk, his example. I'm supposed to look at his walk and know that I cannot love him with all my mind, all my heart, and all my soul, and my neighbors myself. I can't do it. And I'm saved. But I can try. And the devil is going to do everything he can to keep me from serving him. And he's a lot smarter than most people give him credit for. Okay, now, let's take Ken back here. Ken, Here we go. You're mean as a devil. You race too much. You hurt your grandmother. She worries about you all the time. I mean, you're a rat. You are a real A1 rat.
Dirty, low down.
You ain't saved, and you're as mean as a mule.
Amen.
Okay. Walk on over there.
To 99?
No.
About 80?
Stop right there. You get to that point, Ken. You ain't ever trusted the Lord. And there you are, and that's why Leonard and I know what we know. And you never done any of that. And you're mean as the devil. Okay, you get so bad and so terrible. He blots your name out of the book of life. He kills you. You die. And that's the way it is. And so this system, our names were written in the book of life by God himself. And only he can take them away. So when you get to that point, if you haven't received the Lord and you die and you're mean as I'm telling them you are, then, brother, he'll cut you off. Now, in my life, in my experience, I have met people just like this. Now, that's something that you've got to understand whenever you start talking about the book of life. He cuts some people off before they ever receive the Lord. But if you receive, I don't care if it's a deathbed Mick. That's what the Catholics call somebody that makes a profession of faith on a deathbed. They call them deathbed Micks. I knew one. And I worked with him for ages. And I won't tell you who it was. But I didn't think he was ever going to receive the Lord. Finally one day, his family called me. And I went out there and he was laying on the couch. I had witnessed to him so many times, I was blue in the face. And he kept telling me, I will one day. And inside me, I said, you never will. But I didn't think that. I didn't tell him that. But lo and behold, he was laying on the couch, and he was smiling, the biggest smile you ever saw. He said, Brother Michael Murray, I asked him, and he saved me. And he died not too long after that. Now, there is such a thing as a deathbed Mick. That's what the Catholics call them. And they say they wait till the very last minute. Well, what kind of a reward are you going to get for fighting off the Lord all that time? How much of your inheritance can you possibly claim if there isn't, if you die, right after you get saved? So there's an equal and just balance and system in everything God does. And even if I haven't gotten this exactly right, I know that God wants every man to be saved, and he has a very just system that he may be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. Why? Because he gave me his righteousness. He gave it to me. And if I didn't receive it and fought him off all my life and died, I deserve to go to hell. So that's the way this is. And when we go through here, after we finish, I don't know if we'll finish this tonight. But if we don't, I'll take it up again next Thursday. So you hold on to these things. Because I want this to be thoroughly understood. Because a lot of people swear up and down, your name can be blotted out of the book of life. They're right. But your name can't be, because you're a believer. But God cuts some people off. They get so bad that I think they're in heaven today. I think Sapphira and Ananias are in heaven today. But look at what they did. They lied to the church. That's pure old blasphemy against the body of Christ. Now, I don't understand a lot of things. But this thing about Book of Life, I've studied that for years. And I've had a lot of preachers examine exactly what I put out in those videos. And you'd be surprised how many people are now teaching it. And I'm not saying, well, I want to take the credit. You give God the credit, because I couldn't have figured this out myself. Now, in Ephesians 1, 3 through 6, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, Leonard talks a lot about the inheritance. Well, I agree. And whenever you are alive and you're serving God and you haven't broken the challenge, well, you've got a full inheritance waiting for you up there. I've met some people I think have a full inheritance up there. But that's not my choice. That's God's choice. Now, God is the one who puts your name in the book of life. And he put everybody's name in the book of the life from the beginning. And as they go through life, if they get so bad after they're saved that he can't, they're a public embarrassment to him, then God will take their life. They won't go to hell. But this is about grace. No, you can't lose your salvation after you receive it. But the truth is, if you don't receive it before you die and you pass the age of accountability, well, I'm going to tell you that once you've passed that age of accountability, you better receive him before you die, because if you die without having received him, you're going to hell. Now, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us all with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's all in Christ. I'm up there right now. I'm in Christ right now, up there. He is my rock, and I am in him. And only he can cast me out. And only the devil can pull me out. But the devil can't pull me out. I mean, I'm in there rock solid, because I'm there by the righteousness of Christ. So, I mean, boy, listen, you've got it made. Now, the question is, after he gives you this wonderful gift and you've got it made, you're not going to be able to stand there at the judgment seat in Christ and say, You knew. Remember the man that just, Lefe Lombano, remember the man that just couldn't, he knew he was saved, but he took a forgetfulness deliberately every time that God tried to get him serving, and he wouldn't. You say, well, if I was God, I'd have killed him. I know, and I thank God you aren't God, and I thank God I'm not God. But what about that man? He kept giving him a chance, because this guy may not have been doing anything bad. He may have been a banker, gave a lot of people the money, may have cheated a lot of people, but he didn't do a lot of bad things any more than a regular church member. Matter of fact, some of these people do better things than church members. And so he loses everything because he just did not follow the Lord. He followed mammon. And he knew it, but after a while his conscience got seared over. I thank God that some people wake up before it's too late. Some people don't. And they still go to heaven even if they are worshiping mammon. But God saves by grace. And it all goes back to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, here's Calvinism. This is what I've always been more afraid of than anything on this earth. And I've run some off. And I've told you about it before, so I won't go through that. It's just a small step from what we believe in this church to Calvinism. It's just a small step. How can I put that? Here's Calvinism. Some call it the tulip theory. Calvinism is when you believe that before the foundation of the world, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They believe God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit sat down, and they say in the council halls of eternity, before God ever did anything, before he created the earth, I believe, before he created man, the three of them, sat down and decided who would be saved and who wouldn't be saved. And the decision was made for every man on earth. That's Calvinism. You say, well, it almost sounds to me that just, you know, he's got all power. Why'd he do that? He didn't do that. What he did was to put all men's name in the book of life, and you got a full chance You say, well, something here's wrong. If he had foreknowledge that your name was going in that book, he's supposed to be merciful. God is merciful, but God is just. He is just. And that's what Paul meant when he said he has made, this is in Romans 3, he has made the, Romans 3, he made the statement that he is the propitiation for our sins. That's it. He, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. Jesus is God. What does it say just after that? He says that God might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. He offered himself. That really was his son. Really is his son. And always shall be his son. God offered his physical body that he came to live in as Emmanuel for our sins. And so when I say I serve Jesus, I'm saying I serve Jesus. And I'm saying I serve Almighty God. I serve the everlasting God. I serve the Prince of Peace. I serve the Comforter. I serve the Counselor. Because that's Jesus. And so, but if you step over the line and you say, well, I think he sat down in the council halls of eternity and determined who was going to be. No, that is not true. That is Calvinism, and I abhor it. So you have to be very careful about that. Now, he said, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, he chose all men to be saved before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, Haggai so set apart, and without blame before him in love. What does he say are the three remaining spiritual gifts? Faith, hope, and love. How do you learn to have faith, hope, and love? After you get saved, your faith is supposed to grow. What does it grow into? It grows into trust, into hope. And the hope is assured. And once you have epigenesco, the maximum, you trust him, then you begin to love one another. And things happen in your life. After I was up here for a while, I began to realize, I'm going to see old Ken up there. And I began to love Ken. And I began to love Donna. And I began to love everybody that was in the church. And some of them gave me a hard time. And some of them wrote me letters and think I didn't know who wrote them. Lord, I knew the people here in this church quite well, and I knew who wrote them. But in any case, I didn't care. By that time, I had realized, this is something that you got to expect. But now, I have happiness. I have epigenosko. I know, because I have an awareness inside me that I'm a small, helpless child. And I know it's true. Epigenosko. I know it's true. So if I don't have any power, and Jesus has all power in heaven and earth, why in the Sam Hill didn't I learn to run to him a long time ago? Because it takes time to be converted. And it never stops. And I think when you get to heaven, we're going to keep on teaching. And I think we're going to keep on being taught. And I think we'll keep on being used. And I think we'll enjoy every cotton-picking minute of it. We'll never get tired of it. Time will mean absolutely nothing. Time will have ended, and there we are in all eternity. And we're up there, and we can see each other from time to time. But we'll be so busy teaching that we will be more interested in what we're teaching than seeing each other every day. That's what I believe. And then sometimes K.A. Vance, once in a while, she'll do something spiritual. But I tell you what, she has an evil sister. So that is something we have to hold back. Jay, you missed the first part of this, and it was outstanding. I mean, it was outstanding in front of the church as bold and brassy. Okay. Now, let's go on down to the praise. He says, adoption by Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Not your will, not his will, your will. What's a small, helpless child like? After he learns to love his parents, if he's raised properly, he'll go through the stage of rebellion and everything else, but he won't stop loving his parents. Your grandkids love you. They'll never stop loving you, but they'll go through that rebellion period. It just happens. That's true with every one of you. And Kay went through the rebellion period, and after it was all over, She was found not accountable. Okay, he's never going to be accountable. But now as for sister, she's so mean, and I just seriously doubt a lot of things about her. But in any case, let's go on to this next part. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He made me in Adam. I was in Adam. He gave me physical life through Adam. He gave me his life through the new birth. He's a quickening spirit. He's the only reason I'm accepted by God himself, who is Jesus, in the beloved, and he is the beloved. And in addition to that, so that God, because Jesus is the propitiation, can be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. But I'll guarantee you that your name is written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, and you know how scared I am of getting something wrong and hurt and making the Lord irritated. I am assured I am not irritating the Lord with telling you that. And Ken, why don't you just put a button over there, and every time I say something, just press the button. It should be louder.
Where's that easy button?
Push a louder button.
Where's that easy button?
Well, this next part, when you start serving God, there ain't no easy button. He says it's easy, but you got to learn a lot before it's easy. According as he hath chosen us him before the foundation of the world. Okay. Remember, and you know, people get tired of listening to the same old scripture, but Lordy mercy, when I went back and started going over what I had preached in the past, I thought, good Lord, you didn't preach anything heretic, but man, you didn't know anything. Remember, therefore, this is a conclusion, how thou hast received and heard. Now, since I've been here. Some of you have been here a long time. Remember how thou hast received and heard. You have a mind that does not love God, a spiritual mind, that does not love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your might and all your soul and your neighbor's self. Face the truth. You're saved, but your spiritual mind must be converted. And you've been converted, many of you, but you're still being converted, and I'm your pastor, and I'm still being converted. Now, here's what you can do. Since you can't do that, would God expect you to do that to be in the bride? No, he would not. Because he knows that you only love him because he first loved you. But he can teach you to keep on loving him more and more and more and trust him more and more and more and have more and more and more of his kind of love in you. Now, you can do this too and hold fast. I used to preach a lot of fiery sermons and try to get people to stay in church and not abandon the faith. I have to follow the Lord, the whole fast, and I used to teach them all the time, you need to be here, 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 quack, 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 quack. And I was honest and sincere, and God didn't get on to me for it, but I always felt, why am I having to do this, and they're not paying any attention. Well, I decided, why don't I just preach and tell them what God said and leave that up to them. Well, I tell you what, if you just preach the word, why wouldn't God's word work? Every one of you and myself are capable of holding fast. We are not capable of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, all our might, all our soul, and our neighbor as myself. But we are capable of trying. And we can when we jump off and say something wrong, ask for forgiveness, and go right on along as though it never happened. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, then I've got something on you, because, brother, I've been doing that for some time and pastoring this church, and it's the only way I ever found any rest. And repent. Some people have a hard time with repenting. Man, I'm going to brag on... No, if I brag on myself, then I'll do something horrible right after it. But I'm an easy repenter. Man, and you're an easy repenter. You'd repent if you found a dime and couldn't find the man's pocket that it came out of. Well, that's all right. You know, it's good to have a conscience. Some people repent easily. Some people, God has to batter them with a baseball bat over the head, and finally something happens to them, and they say, wow! And then they get in serving God, and once they start, they say, he's wonderful! Well, that's conversion. He does it early in some people's life and late in some people's life, but he's trying all the time to do it, even though he knows it's going to happen. He operates on the principle that he knows by foreknowledge. But he gives everybody a fair shake. You better believe that. That's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He says, according to the good pleasure of his will. Okay. He says, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. I'm not going to let you see our church roll unless you make a request. And I'm going to practice what Obama tells. I say, well, right now we've got that, and I'm having the FBI investigate. I'm having my Justice Department investigate that. And you just wait a while, and we'll get it to you shortly. I'm going to pull an Obama on you. We got a bunch of people on our church roll that have been on that church roll since Hector was a pup. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know where they are. I pray for them sometimes, and sometimes I forget. But I'll tell you the truth, and I'm supposed to do that all the time. He says, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. I know some people on our church roll that you never saw, you never knew. And Ken, you probably knew some of them. But they're walking around here in the community right now, and they haven't been to church in 40 years. And you say, well, we ought to wipe them off the church roll. Should we, really? Well, I know these people. You know what their sin is? They're following mammon. They're following mammon. Absolutely, totally sold over to mammon. And when you ask them about coming to church, they say, oh, yeah, I'm going to be coming back one day, and I'm going to do that. Yeah, we're going to get back in here. They're lethe lambano. You say, well, it's your responsibility as pastor to bring it up so we can exclude them. That's something that they did when I was a boy growing up. And finally, one day, they excluded an old boy that was in service. And he couldn't help. He was over and fighting a war. But they didn't care. They just excluded everybody on the church roll. They didn't know where they were, and they didn't care. Listen, God takes care of that church roll. When you're still a believer and you're not going to come to church, I don't believe in excluding for non-attendance. Never have, and I never will. Because I don't think it's right. As long as I know they're living a moral life out there and they're not doing anything bad, well, I just leave them alone. They don't even know that people don't even know they're members of this church. Because they're ashamed that they're even Christians. You say, well, a person like that can't be lost, can't be saved. Oh, yes, they can. And I've learned that. And it's been reinforced by what Tommy taught, and we came through it two different ways. He says, oh, my goodness, it's almost time to quit, isn't it? Maybe it probably is time. Well, let me get on right down through here. He says, for they are, he says, they hast a few name. They don't know when the Lord's coming. They just hope it's not right away. Some of them are old now, but they're hoping the Lord doesn't come. They want to live here with their last breath, and they're taking so much medicine. I don't know how they enjoy life. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis. And he says few, and that means few. In Sardis, the church at Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they walk with me in white. For they are worthy. That's who's going to be in the bride. That's it right there. You say, well, what does worthy mean? Hold fast. Become more faithful than you are now. Is that possible? Do you think you're faithful enough now? I don't think I'm faithful enough now. I suppose I could have come over here some of those times that I just couldn't hardly move. But I asked God about it. And he didn't whisper in my ear, but I knew it'd be all right. So I just went back to sleep and slept for the next time I had to come over here and preach. So I want to be worthy, but I don't have to kill myself to do it. If I need to be killed, God will kill me. They shall walk with me in white. I'm going to tell you something else about that white. I told you this a long time ago. I don't know if you remember it. When you see that word white, it means glistening. What do you think when you see these commercials? And you show the Tide wash. And it's white, but it's glistening. I think that's what the bride is going to wear. I think it's going to be glistening. And I think that the what we wear is going to differ in glistening. And I've taught that up here too, and it's over in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it talks about how they'll look. Man, listen, that thrills me. I've never glistened in my life. I hope to look like a rhinestone cowboy without the color. For they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Period. If you're saved, don't worry about it ever being blotted out of the life. But do be afraid of what happens if he cuts you off before you die and you're not living for him. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith into the churches. So it's 4 minutes till, and you can come back. And I'm going to go as far as I can on this. But I am going to continue this next time I preach. And I think you'll find it very interesting because...